we left off at the very end of the shiur last week, we mentioned the fact that Beis Din is an integral part of Geirus, but we have a lot of things to be mevarek concerning that statement. Number one, what exactly constitutes a Beis Din, both in terms of quantitative as well as qualitative? And number two, when we say that Beis Din is an integral part of Geirus, which process of Geirus are we talking about? We've already spoke about Mila, Tefillah, Korban, Kavos, Mitzvah, a lot of different parts of Geirus, so which one is Beis Din play such a critical role, or maybe all of the above? So we speak about a Beis Din, we mentioned at the end of the shiur last week, that quantitatively, although the Mishnah does tell us that dinim amnus b'shlosha, that whenever you have a monetary case, you always require three dayanim, that is not necessarily true in HaTorah. There is a machlekes in the Gemara itself, whether there's an absolute din d'araisa that all of dinim amnus require three dayanim. That's one opinion. And the other opinion in the Gemara is no. Certain dinim amnus require shlosha, gzeilas v'chavolos, cases of robberies and chayvu b'chaveira, those kinds of cases require three dayanim. But min HaTorah, hodos v'avos, just contracts and agreements and sales and loans and those kind of stuff. So those kind of halachos only require one dayan min HaTorah. So how could the Gemara make a statement that Mishpat Sivbei, that Geirus is following the pattern of Mishpat, and therefore requires three dayanim, if that statement is not even so true, even by Dini Mamas, we're not so sure that's true. So there are different answers in the Rishayim how to solve that problem. So some Rishayim say that in Rochanami, that this statement of the Gemara, that Geretzah Shloshim Mishpat Sivbei, is following that opinion. In Rochanami, it's dependent on that machlokes. According to those who say that you need three dayanim all the time, so then it's not true. Then you need three dayanim for Geirus. And according to that opinion, the Gemara that says you don't always need three dayanim, maybe you don't need three dayanim for Geirus. So that opinion does have a source in Rishonim. There's a Mordechai, I think we may make quick reference to this, I don't remember the end of the shiur this week. There's a Mordechai in the fourth Berach of Yevamos that quotes such a possibility, that maybe lahalacha, you don't need three dayanim, maybe you only need one dayanim. But Rubin the Rishonim don't accept that, and Shulchan Aruch, that opinion is not even quoted. We paskin that you do require three dayanim. Why is that? Maybe we paskin all the Dimamunas require three dayanim. Maybe we paskin that, since we're not sure whether to compare Geirus to Gzeilas v'chavolos or Tadalos v'avos, some Rishonim write l'chumer makshinin, so we're forced, we have to compare it to the more chumer, we have to go for the highest standards of Beis Din. So maybe based on that principle, we have to opt for three dayanim. So no matter what the lumdus is, at the end of the day, that day that's called the Mordechai is not really accepted lahalach and shukharach. So we follow the simple reading of the Gemara Geirtzah, shlosha under all circumstances. When we speak about the requirement of shlosha, conditions are necessary to constitute a Beis Din. So those who learned the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin. So the Gemara talks about the process of smicha. So the official process of smicha that goes back from Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua ben Nun. Ish v'pish and Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't have that anymore. The reason why we don't have that is that that can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. It was a very, very short window in history where they tried to restart it in Tzfat in the 1500s. Those who go on the Tzfat tours will no doubt very often in the summer, so in NCS Kollel, so we go up to Tzfat. So sometimes if they get me to go along, so they ask me to give like almost like the halachic tour of Tzfat. There are a lot of other tours going on. It's about a lot of other strange stories going on. So I go and I talk. We go to the Beis Yosef Shul. We talk about things that interest the Beis Yosef. So usually I'll talk a little bit about the Smicha controversy. I'll talk a little bit about the Mechaz Beis Yosef and the others in Tzfat about Perish Shmit of a Goy. And we'll talk about if you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, what the Mari Berav Paskin in the end. And other tours talk about other kinds of events that did or did not actually take place in Tzfat. So anyway, getting back to the story. So we don't have smicha b'zman hazeh. We haven't had smicha for quite some time. And the question is, if smicha is such an integral part of being a dayan, how in the world can we run a Beis Din v'Geirus b'zman hazeh? The whole Beis Din should unravel if we don't have smicha. So this is not my kasha. This is almost all the Rishonim bar with this kasha. Wherever the Gemara speaks about dayanim v'Geirus, so in Yevamos and in Kiddushin, every time it comes up, Tosfos has the same kasha. How do we have dayanim b'zman hazeh? How do we have Geirus b'zman hazeh? What happened to smuchim? So one of the answers that Tosfos quotes is a throwback to something that we spoke about in the first shiur, and that's the magic word L'Doris Eichin. The Gemara Krisus Daf Tes says that we really should have required a korban as part of the process of Geirus. We should have required it even the ikuva, because if we insist on milu tefila as being ma'akev, whatever took place, the Geirus of Matan Torah is critical to be, it has to be done in each and every generation. So then Korban was done, so how can we have a Geirus? There's no Beis HaMikdash, how can we have a Geirus? So the Gemara says, no, don't ask a Kasha from the Beis HaMikdash, because the Torah says a Deiris Eichem, that even though Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously knew there's going to come a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no option of a Korban, and the Rebbe still gave us the Pasha of Geirus, and he wrote into the Pasha of Geirus the word of Deiris Eichem, that highlights the fact that for all generations, the Deiris is going to be a... the ability to have Geirus. Even if you happen to live in a time where there's no Beis HaMikdash, that doesn't matter. The show still must go on. So Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Nesana, one of the Balei Tosfos, who said that the same way the Gemara says the show must go on vis-a-vis the Korban, or the lack thereof, the show must go on vis-a-vis Smuchin, or the lack thereof. So this, the Rabban Shalom obviously knew that there's going to come a time when there's not going to be any Dayarim Smuchin, and he still wrote into the Heilige Torah, L'Dayar Seichem, indicating to us that whatever can't be done, it's not critical. If it's impossible to, if you live in a generation where it's impossible to have smuchim, so be it. So then the Geirus will go on even without the smuchim. That's one approach that Tosfos gives. Then Tosfos quotes another approach that maybe it's based on another principle that appears in the end of Bava Kamma, being the eighth parak of Bava Kamma, appears at the end of Maseches Gittin, and that's the principle called Shlichus Sahu. The Gemara raises the question, how do we ever have any Dini Torah Bizman Hazeh? How do we ever pass any Dini Mamonis Bizman Hazeh if we don't have smuchim? The Gemara elaborates in the beginning of Perek HaChoyvel, the 8th Perek of Kam, and says that the vehicle that allows us to paskin Dini Mamonos Bezman Hazeh is based on the principle of Shlichus Sahu, that we are the Shlichim, we are the agents, we are the representatives of the Dayanim Smuchim. Even though the Dayanim Smuchim have long died, we are representatives of them, all the way back. So we are the Shlichim Nemanim of the last Dayanim Smuchim that existed in Eretz Israel 1,500 years ago. That gives us the Koyach, the Dan Dini Mamonis Bezman Hazeh. Then the Gemara says that in theory, we could have used this Koyach for all Dini Mamonis. Chazal could have let us do everything and anything based on being Shluchim, but Chazal didn't want to invoke Shlichus Sahu all the time, and therefore in the realm of Dini Mamonis, they tailor-made it in such a way that sometimes we'll invoke Shlichus Sahu and sometimes we won't. That's what the Gemara at the beginning of Chayv gives you all the rules. If it's a Milsa Deshchicha, if it's a Isbechisar and Kiss, if it's something that's normal, and it's something that's going to otherwise cause a loss to one of the parties involved, so then those kinds of Dini Torah we're going to get involved in, because it makes sense. It's important enough for us to invoke Shlichus Sahu. Those cases where it's not so important, so we're going to forego. We're not going to invoke Shlichus Sahu. We're going to leave it on the Din D'Oraisa that we can't sit on the case. We can't judge the case, Bezman Hazeh. But Be'ikaron, all of Dini Mamonos, the very institution of a Beis Din of Dini Mamonos, is hinging upon the principle of Shlichus Sahu. So Tosfos quotes that just as Shlichus Sahu works for Dini Mamonos, so maybe it should work for Geirus as well. Maybe that's the rationale why we really should require the Yom Smuchim, Taka should, and this Gzeres HaKosel of Doros Eichem, we have no right to extrapolate to other things. The Gemara only said it vis-a-vis Korbans, we have no right to extend it to other things. Maybe the rationale to permit Geirus Bezman Hazeh is based on the principle of Shlichus Sahu. So the Ramban in Maseches Yevamos in the fourth prayer quotes this answer from Tosfos and throws a monkey wrench at the answer. He says he's not sure the answer is right, because maybe Shlichus Sahu was only a principle mid the Rabbanon. This principle of Shlichus Sahu was a very, very strange principle in HaTorah. What do you mean, I'm a shliach? First of all, I never met the Mishalech. The Mishalech died 1,500 years ago. How many shaliach? What kind of shaliach is that? Look how bitter shaliach is going to be. Someone who's been manning me as a shaliach before he died. And what kind of shaliach? It's a joke. That's not a shaliach. So the whole shaliach doesn't really make any sense. So the Ramban says that this whole institution, lock, stock, and barrel of shaliach was only a takana sachamim. When did the Chachamim make the Takanim? So we have a record of this Takanim, Dinim Mamonos, that's okay. Dinim Mamonos, they can do whatever they want, because Hefker Beis and Hefker. We do find record of this Takanim in Hilchos Gittin also. It's a Gemara in Daf Peches and Gittin. The Gemara says that, the Gemara tells a story that Abai once saw his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, forcing somebody to give a get. So the din is that you're not allowed to force someone to give a get unless you're bathed in Samoch, Elam Shpat, Mishatasim, Lefneim, Lefneim, Yaitis. So Rav Yosef, so Abai was questioning the validity of the Kfir, he was questioning the validity of the get, because it was being done by Dayanim that were not Smuchim. So Rav Yosef said, that's okay, even though I live in Bava, I don't have Smicha, it doesn't matter, it's still okay, because I'm a Shaliach, Shlichus Sahu. So the Ramban says, just because we invoke the principle of Shlichus Sahu, Nuchus Gittin, that doesn't mean it's a Deraisa. The principle, your Gittin is a Deraisa. But whenever you're dealing with Gittin, so we always have in the back pocket, called the Mekadosh, the Dachter Rabban, Mekadosh, Afkin Rabban, Kedushim Minei. We can always bump off Kedushim if we so desire. So therefore, just because the Gemara uses the principle of Shlichus Sahu to be Machshir Get, it doesn't mean that Shlichus Sahu is a real vehicle in the Torah. It could be that the vehicle in the Torah is that we're Oikedir, Kedushim, and Lamafreya. But it could be, says the Ramban, that Shlichus Sahu is not a Deraisa. So the Ramban is back and forth. He's not sure whether Shlichus Sahu is a Deraisa or not.
Sorry, it's maybe. But wouldn't Hefker Beis and Hefker in the same idea of Afkin Rabbanan require also Smuchim?
No, so clear from the Gemara that for the purpose of Hefka Bezit Hefka, you wouldn't need Smuchin, right? You see clear from the Gemara that's not true. You wonder why that should be so. You wonder why should there be such a principle. So there's a Dvar of Ram that argues that Hefka Bezit Hefka is not a function of the Bezdin's role as the great Tamid Chachamim. Bezdin wears two hats. They're the Tamid Chachamim of the generation, and they're also, in a sense, almost like the secular leaders of the generation. Because they're the ones who are in charge of making sure the Torah Chetzim, everything goes smoothly. So the Dvar Avram claims that the Din of Hefka Beis and Hefka does not emanate from their religious expertise. It emanates from their koach of shlita, their koach of authority. So that's why Hefka Beis and Hefka, that's what the Dvar Avram says, based on a Rabbeinu Yoin and Baba Basra, that the Din of Din of Machus Adina is related to Hefka Beis and Hefka. The Gemara never says, what's the mocha for Din of Machus Adina? The Gemara says, Hefka Beis and Hefka, the Gemara quotes Pesukim for. How do you know Din of Machus Adina? The Gemara never says. So different Rishonim have different approaches. So Rabbeinu Yoin says, you don't need a Pesuk. It's the same Parsha as Hefka Beis and Hefka. So the Dvar Avram says, what kind of same Parsha? Because Hefka Beis and Hefka is talking about three rabbis with long white beards and big hats and they're very, very, you know, great Tim Nechamim. Din of Machus Adina is talking about three people, not necessarily Jewish, who are running a government. So says the Dvar Avram, no. He says, you see that the din of Hefka Beis and Hefka, according to Rabbeinu Yoin, has nothing to do with being a Talmid Chacham. It has to do with because you're running a government. So in the perfect world, you're supposed to have the people who run the government supposed to be from. That's what we would like. We hope and pray. We'll reach that. This has nothing to do with post-elections. We hope, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Baruch, we should highly, Shemach Vodoy to Rabbi Shalom for all the wonderful Torah that he does. And we hope and pray that everybody, you know, down the line, everyone will become Shemach Torah Mitzvahs. That's what's supposed to happen. So according to that, then I understand what is the discrepancy. Smicha is a din of Tamid Chacham. You can run a government without having smicha. The Goyish authorities in running the city of New York don't have smicha. And that's also a din of din of Machos Adina. So again, so we have a couple of different nuances, whether the answer to the question, to this deep, dark secret of how we have Geirus Bezman Hazeh, is based on perhaps Shlichus Hayom, maybe it's based on the Daras Seichem. There is a Chiddush Ran at the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin that would throw a big monkey wrench into the Shlichus Hayom story. The Ran writes that Shlichus Hayom is not Machshir Din. The reason why, let's say, why is the Chacham have the Koach to sit on Din Torah Bezman Hazeh, if we don't have the Yom Smuchim? So the Ran says it's based on Hefker, based on Hefker. He says, we made it to Chasson Chum and finish. Hefker, based on, we could change everything in Din Bamanus. So why does the Gemara say Shlichus Hayom? So the Ran explains that the Ran says there are two dinim. There are two problems with going to dayanim or not smuchim. Number one, they don't have the authority. Their din is not a din, it's meaningless. And number two, it's also to do it. You're not allowed to go to the dayanim or not smuchim. The same way you're not allowed to go to the goyisha courts, you're not allowed to go to the non-smuchim courts. That's a bitl of the covenant of the dayanim, of the dayanim smuchim. You're taken away from the kesser shalas smuchim. So the Ran writes that when the Gemara in the Bava Kamma says that we paskin didi mamonis was man hazeh based on shlichus hayom, the Gemara is not addressing what gives the din the ability to be chal. The din is chal based on hefka based on hefka. What the Gemara was addressing is, isn't it also to do it? To which the Gemara says, no, shlichus hayom works. What does shlichus hayom mean? The Ran says, all shlichus hayom means is not shlichus, that's a joke. It's the tilus mishus mehasmuchim. That means we're sizing up that the dayanim smuchim are probably okay with what we're doing. That the heliga last tanoim, the last people who lived in Eretz Yisrael, smicha, are probably very, very happy with what we're doing. And therefore, it's not considered to be a pechis nakovet to them. It's a rav shemachal kvedik kvedim machal. A tamer chacham could be moichal in his kovet. So the dayanim smuchim are moichal in their kovet. So according to the Ran, that shlichus hayom doesn't impact on the kashrus of the din altogether. It just is a way to solve the isav hetter problem of what gives you the right to go to the dayanim. It's a bitl of kovet atayrah. So then that would be absurd to invoke that to be machshir geirus. What is the geirus? I want to know tachas how the geirus works. I'm not interested whether I did something wrong. I did a no-no by going to the non smuchim. I want to know, is the guy Jewish or not? So according to the Ran's revamping of shlichus hayom, obviously this answer is not going to fly. So we have a lot of very, very shaky answers in the Rishonim. We know the facts, so we know that you require smuchin, and we know in theory, and we know that we do geirus without smuchin bezman hazeh. So one of two ways, either based on l'dor seichem or based on shlichus hayom. So if you take a look at the other Rishonim have different answers. There's a Rashba that says that maybe it's halacha moshe mesina that you don't really need a beis din. I think Moshe says getzok shloshim mishpuk sivbei. The Rashi says no. All the Gemara meant was is that this particular prat of shloisha is the din. That's Toshua Pes said. It's not mamash mishpat. It's only mishpat vis-a-vis three, not vis-a-vis smuchim. Yeah, it's a chiddush, but it's in the Rashba. So if you look in the Rambam, you get the impression that the question was never even bothering the Rambam in the first place. The difficulty with Rambams always is that the Rambam didn't write a parish in the Gemara. At least we don't have his parish on the Gemara. So we never really know how he learned any given sugya in the Gemara. We can only reconstruct what he held based on what his conclusions are. So with that missing gap, it's like when you read Gemara and you read Shulchan Aruch, so sometimes there's a discrepancy, but the gap is filled by the Beis Yosef. So you see, whether you agree with what it says the Beis Yosef or disagree, at least you know how he got from point A to point B. Whereas the Rambam, point A is the Gemara, point B is Mishnah Torah, and we have no idea what the gap in the middle is. So we can guess what the Rambam holds. So we don't have a Rambam that asks Svim Toimer what happened to Smuchin. But we have from a nuance, from a presentation of the Rambam, the impression that maybe the Rambam wasn't even bothered with the Kasha in the first place. Why wasn't he bothered with this Kasha? So the Rav explained that maybe the Rambam had a very, very different understanding of what Dayam Smuchim is all about. That there is a fundamental Shaila as to what's the Lomdus, what's the nature of the requirement of Smuchin. A Smuchin a din in the Shem Dayan, that in order to be called the Dayan, you have to have Smicha. Or smuchin, not a function of a shem dayan. Smuchin is a function of a psak. When a beizin is issuing a psak, when a beizin is poskating something, so then psak only has umph, only has teeth to it if it's emanating from a dayan who has smicha. So sometimes you have a halacha that the Torah requires a shem dayan, but the Torah doesn't require a psak. There's no psak. There's no issue involved. There's no halacha lemaisa we're deciding on over here. So when you have a din Torah of din imamunis or din nefashis or something, that's a psak based din. So psak based din requires smicha. When you have a geirus is not a din Torah. A geirus is simply a maisa based din. It's a halachic process of geirus. It has to be supervised by a based din. But there's no shaila. Every once in a blue moon, you have a shaila that comes up in geirus, so you don't have to call the based din. The based din doesn't pasket on the shaila. They pick up a phone and call the rabbi. The based din, three people are kashal adun. They're not necessarily the greatest experts in the geirus. You have a shaila that comes up, so you call up a rabbi to answer. When you have a din Torah, so you don't call up the rabbi. That's the job of the dayan, is to figure out what the din is. So the Rav explained that the role of a beis din for the purposes of non-psak halacha maybe never required smicha in the first place, because smicha was only a function of a psak. If that's correct, the Rav said, that would explain why we find a chalitza. Well, look at that from Sukkim and Perkbiz Chalitza, that the Beis of Chalitza doesn't require Smuchim. Why not? So it's the same word, because the Beis of Chalitza are not doing anything. They're just simply supervising a Chalitza. If once in a while a Shaila comes up, so we'll call up an expert, Masechet Yevamim, to answer the Shaila. But it's not the role of the Beis is not to paskin a Shaila of Chalitza. It's the role of the Beis to be present at the time of a Chalitza. So the Rambam may have derived that just as by Chalitza you don't require Dinam Smuchim, maybe by Gamish you don't either. Other Rishonim would say, no, maybe Chalitza is different. Maybe all other Maise Beis Dins do require smuchin. So again, so that's a shaila. So we're not sure what the Rambam's answer to this dilemma was, but the facts are clear that the halacha is you require a beis din, and keir is done without a beis din is batal mevutal min haTorah. That's a gemara many times. And we do geirus in bizman hazeh, notwithstanding the lack of smicha. So again, for either of the darasech, mishuch usai, whatever, you never needed smicha in the first place, lachem or sidat, whatever the source is, we still have geirus in bizman hazeh. The Amoraim and Bava were still Magaya people, the Rishonim were Magaya people, the Acharonim were Magaya people, the Magaya people, Adayim is there. And this has been obviously the practice of Klal Yisrael, notwithstanding the fact that we don't formally have Smicha. So one of these answers has to be an acceptable solution to this dilemma.
Do you think
Gemara
says that when Mashiach comes or when Bishamishri will bring the carbon all year?
So you want to know, will the din of Smucha come back? Will you request it?
Or will they have to reconvert?
I don't think they have to reconvert. The Chumrat says, the Rishonim have a machlekes, a nuance of machlekes of Rishonim. When you have a din that's not ma'akeh, b'zman hazeh, chutz l'dar seichem, does that mean it's never ma'akeh, b'zman ha-mikdash? Let's say b'zman ha-mikdash, the guy didn't bring a korban. So some Rishonim say it was tak ma'akeh, b'zman ha-mikdash, and others say, no, it's never ma'akeh. Once you have a certain aspect of geirus that's subject according to the time and place of l'dar seichem, that's the gilui that it was never ma'akeh in the first place. So that would be a potential enough community to this shayla. So even though you don't need smuchim, but you have to be a kosher dayan. So I think we mentioned at the end of the shiur last week that in order to be a kosher dayan, you have to first be a kosher aid. And if you're a posel yedus, then you're going to be a posel dayanus. So in order to be a kosher yedus, you can't be a rasha. So I don't know, did we talk about this at all this week? We didn't mention this? Okay, so in order to the first ABCs of being a kosher dayan is the first to be a kosher aid. One of the psulim of an aid is an aid who's a rasha. What constitutes a rasha? So the pasuk says, lios aid chamas. And if a person is an aid chamas, so then he's automatically possible to be an aid, and then by extension, possible to be a dayan. Mishnah says in Shavuos that if you're possible to be an aid, you're possible to be a dayan. So I'm sorry, the Mishnah doesn't need them. So the Mishnah doesn't need that if you're possible for one, you're possible for another. So if you, what does chamas mean? What's an eir chamas mean? It means a gazlan, a gadam, a gazlan. Anyone who does aveiros in the realm of din yamamun is a guy cheats in business. All kind of shady business practices. So the guy's a gadam or a gazlan. So for sure he's possibly yedus. That goes without saying. And the Gemara is a chiddush that even if a person is not an eir chamas, even if he's very honest, scrupulous in business, but he violates isurim, so that's also a problem of being possibly yedus. What does that mean? He violates Yisurim. So the Gemara quotes Machloikis in the Maseches Sanhedrin in the third paragraph in Rava. Let's say a person eats treif l'tei oven. He eats treif because he has a big yetzahara. What's his yetzahara? Either the food tastes good or because the food is cheaper. So he has big yetzaharas and he goes and he eats treif l'tei oven. So the Gemara says such a person is for sure possibly yetzahara. Why? Because you see that the person, he compromises his morals in order to make a few dollars, or he compromises his morals because in order to fulfill his taivas. So such a person, he's like a Rosh of the Chumas almost. That the same way that trying to save a few dollars or go to the treifa restaurant instead of the kosher restaurant, or because he has a big desire to eat that the lobster, he's going to go and sacrifice what his holds to be true. So too, someone's going to offer him enough money as a bribe to go testify falsely. He'll take the money. So you see, there's always a chashash that he's going to lie. So the Gemara says that everybody agrees. A muma oichel l'tayavon for sure is possibly yedus. What if he's a muma oichel l'haches? What if he has very, very strong beliefs, except one of those beliefs happens not to be that you're not allowed to eat treif? It means he follows his entire belief system to the T. The only thing is he has a krumta belief system. So he's eating l'haches. Not that he wants to cause a kosher bracha anger per se. L'haches means he doesn't care one way or the other. So it's the same delicious meat. It doesn't make the slightest difference whether he's going to the kosher restaurant, treif restaurant. It's the same price. Okay, assuming that would be true. It's the same price, the same quality meat, everything's the same. And he definitely goes to the treifa place because he couldn't care less about kashrus. So the Gemara quotes a machlekes Abaye and Rava, maybe he's kashrus yedus. So Rava says he's kashrus yedus. You know why? He's an honest guy. He's honest, ethical, never cheated anybody. He doesn't compromise his belief system. He just doesn't have the right one. He would be kashrus yedus. And Abaye says no, that he's possibly yedus also. We paskin like Abaye. We paskin that even Ochel Neves Lahachas is possible. This is one of the Al-Khagams. Why is he possibly yedus? That's a further shaila. Some say because that there's no ethics without religion, basically. That means we're always afraid if he's not religious, so maybe he's going to lie. Or others say, no, he's a very ethical person, and yesh ethics believe religion, but yesh ethics believe religion. But afa b'chein, the Torah says, if you're possibly a apostle, if you're a Russia, you're a Russia. So for our purposes, it doesn't make much of a difference. If a guy is not shomer Torah mitzvahs, he's possibly yedus. So if a guy eats treif, he's possibly yedus. The Rambam writes that if a guy is machal Shabbos, if all these possibly yedus, eating treif is only malchus, and even that's called a Russia. The Torah says, I am binakos a Russia. Kavachayim the Rambam writes, if a guy violates Yisurim Yisa, a guy called Shabbos, he violates Kederayis, he violates terrible Yisurim, of course he's possibly Yedis. So that's what we pass in the Halacha. You're possibly Yedis whether you're a Ganav or a Gazlan, you're possibly Yedis whether you're eating Trey for whatever reason, you're possibly Yedis if you do Averis for any reason whatsoever, any Aveira that carries with you the Malchus and Mrs. Beis, then if you're amazed, if you don't realize what you're doing, you think that you're allowed to take out watermelon seeds on Shabbos, okay, so you may not necessarily Michal Shabbos Fesia. But if you know what you're doing and you're doing it, then we know what you're doing, so then you become possibly Yedis. So once you're possibly Yedis, you're possibly Dayanus as well. Then the post came in on. Let's say you have a guy who doesn't believe in Mamash and the ABCs of Torah. The guy's an Epicurus. The guy's a Koifer. So that's like an Ovid of a Zara. That's for sure his Postle the Eidus. His Postle the Eidus is his Dino Ka'akum, the Gabi Shchita, the Gabi Yainessa. He believes in all kind of crazy Ashkafas. So for sure that's Postle the Eidus. And for sure he's Postle the Dayonis. So it's based on all of these halachas that if you have people who are presenting themselves as either people who are not shomer Torah mitzvahs properly, or they're presenting themselves, even if they maybe in their own personal lives, they may not necessarily be Mechel Shabbos, a classic, but their hashkafas are so out of whack that they're kaifim and apikarsim and things of that nature. So then such people obviously would be posel in the Torah to be dayonim. If the posel in the Torah to be dayonim, then clearly any games that they're going to do is going to be disqualified. So even imtum tzolomim that they did all the process right, which is highly unlikely because who said they did the process right? Who said they had proper kabbalas and mitzvahs? If they themselves are on shomer Torah mitzvahs, so it's kind of hard to believe that they insisted on an authentic kabbalas and mitzvahs. So even aniach that they took the person to a kosher mikvah and they did a kosher gerah, they did a kosher milah, and they did a real kabbalas and mitzvahs, but if they're the ones who are supervising the gerah, it's like a base, then that's possible. So the whole gerah is going to fall by the wayside. That's what the assumption is, that anyone who's not someone who's a complete total shomer Torah mitzvahs with a proper, when I say hashkafas achayim, I don't mean that he has to vote for this party and that party. It means he has to be someone who's a shomer Torah mitzvahs with the proper hashkafa of the Rambam's Yigim Likrei Amunah, which is accepted in Klal Yisrael as the make or break it in terms of who's considered to have a proper Ashkafas Chaim. So whether this Kali Yamka, that Kali Yamka, that's not going to make or break your Geirus. But if you don't believe in the ABCs, you don't believe in Torah Minah Shemayim, you don't believe in what the traditional interpretation of Torah Minah Shemayim has been, not some newfangled thing that was made up 10 years ago, something that's always traditionally been what Torah Minah Shemayim meant, so then the person is not be cursed, the person is not be cursed, and obviously they cannot serve on the Beis Din for Geirus. So once we've ascertained that we have kosher dayanim all ready to roll without smicha, all ready, no smuchim, but we have a kosher dayanim to be do the geirus, which part of the geirus are they supposed to supervise? So this is a throwback to something we spoke about in the first week's year. All we're going to talk about now revolves around the very, very, very tricky Gemara in the fourth Brech of Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara tells a story about somebody whose mother had converted and there was something shaky about her geirus. It wasn't exactly clear, it was done the wrong way. Lamai said there was some pickbook on the mother's geirus. But in the interim, this woman had already gotten married, and she was living in a Jewish community, and she was shomer Torah mitzvahs. She was saying tilim every day, and she was running the chesed committee. She was regular, incorporated into the Jewish community. She was doing everything properly. And then 20 years later, somebody was mafachbik. There was some kind of an issue with our original geirus. So when the shaila came to the Amoraim, so the Gemara says, no, nishkefelach, milo tovel nidusa. That even though it's true that her original geirus may not have been up to par, but Lamaisa, she got married and she's been from, she goes to the mikveh every month, so milo tovel nidusa. So she's going to the mikveh, that's good enough. So even though the simple reading of the Gemara is, even though her original tefillah was probably not up to par, but her subsequent tefillahs, l'shem nidus, are going to be up to par. So we pointed out when we first talked about mila, shalol l'shem geirus, someone wanted to bring a raya from this Gemara, that you see that a tefillah, not literally l'shem geirus, could also cover, as long as it's a tefillah l'shem Yisrael. If a person goes to the ocean because they're swimming in the ocean, and then a year later they say, oh, I converted because I went to the ocean. But when you're swimming, that wasn't Matoras Geirus, that wasn't Matoras Mitzvah, that was Matoras Nothing. So that's not going to cover. But if a person has a Tefillah L'Shem Mitzvah Nida, and then it turns out they realize that they weren't Jewish in the first place, so maybe that would be good enough. But the Rishonim were bothered with a much more serious problem here. Rishonim were bothered with the Kasha. He says, wait a second. He said, how in the world are we going to let this, how in the world are we going to let this Tefillah work? Where's the Beis Din? And the Gemara says, Getzar, Shloisha, Mishpach, Sibes, Ma'achah, B'diyavid. Where in the world is the Beis Din present of this tevila? So some Rishonim have a fascinating answer. That's what we mentioned before. The Mordechai in the fourth paragraph of Yevamos makes mention of an answer. Now, what do you mean there was a Beis Din there? Who's the Beis Din? One person, because Getzar, Shloisha, that's Shloisha Din. We pass in Getzar, Echad. We pass in Adolf, who are good enough with one, and Getzar, Echad, that's also good. So the Mordechai rejected that answer. He says, Getzar Echad, where's the Echad? Who's sitting there in the mikvah? So what do you mean? The mikvah lady, she's there. She's the Dayanet. So some of the Rishonim apparently held, like the Tosfos quotes such an opinion, that maybe a woman is kasher to be a Dayan. Ivy Mishnah says she can't be an aide. So maybe aid and Dayanet are not the same. Ivy just quoted a minute ago that says that they are the same. So those are trying to show you why maybe it's not true 100%. So there is one opinion tucked away in the Tosfos somewhere that says that maybe a woman is kasher to be a Dayan. So that opinion was not accepted by anybody else. Tosfos in other places rejects that opinion. The Rambam doesn't mention it. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it. They all mention that it's wrong. Nobody follows that. So for the last 3,500 years, we've been assuming that women are not kasheris to be dayanim, notwithstanding the psukim by Devora. All of a sudden, like somebody in 2019 discovers, gee, by golly, a woman can become a dayanet because the pasuk in Navi. Nobody knew that pasuk in Navi. No, nobody. It's after Erev Bashar B'Shalach, so we bumped into it at least once a year. So everybody knows there's a pasuk that says Devora, he shoftas yo beisahi. So the Rishon already asked the kasha, and Locha said terutzim. Tosfos gives one answer, and another answer, 15 different answers to that kasha. But the answer that we don't follow is that Takash is kasher to be a dayan. So that's not correct. So traditional Judaism has never accepted that to be acceptable shita. It's one day and one yesh loim, but one possibility, and a tais is tucked away somewhere. So that's not how halacha doesn't run that way. We don't collect every yesh omim somewhere that was said by one person in a theoretical sense in the last 3,000 years and make a new religion out of it. That's not how Torah works. There's a process. So the process of halacha has outvoted that yesh omim. So we paskin that this is not the correct answer to the question. So the question is now better than the answer. So how can you be makshir geirus? Where's the Beis Din? So different answers are given to this kasha. So Tosfos in Yevamos quotes from Yesh Mefarshim. They quote some that don't identify who it is. They quote some who say that the reason why the Geirus was okay is because there is a Beis Din watching the Geirus. Where's the Beis Din? It's not a Beis Din watching the Geirus. It's a Beis Din who knows there's a Geirus taking place. Who is the Beis Din? We are. We know that this woman, Rachel, is going to the mikveh every month. How do we know? Nobody saw her go to the mikveh, but we know she's observant. She's a young woman, so she's going to the mikveh every month. So we have an umdin emuch. We have an ansade. We call it edus yedi b'loriya. We know for a fact that she's going to the mikveh. It's ki'ilu we saw going to the mikveh. So Tosfos says, avad, you need a beis din, and a woman's not going to be suffice. One person's not going to suffice. You need a beis din of three men to watch her going to the mikveh. But watching doesn't mean watching, watching. Watching means knowing. Knowing she's going to the mikveh is also good enough. That's what Tosfos quotes one answer to this dilemma.
Wouldn't we have family
on
the basin together then?
Wouldn't him to Karpal? Well, don't you just me and my two sons? You have three people. If you want to know, whenever you have an Anan Sadeh, don't you always have a Nimtzeh Karpal Puzzle? That's your kasha. So the Mishnah Melech has a sofik whether there's a din of Nimtzeh Karpal Puzzle by Dayanim altogether. The Gemara only has by Eidim, so there seems to be a Machlech Zirishonim whether that psul carries over to Dayanim. But even Anan Sadeh, it carries over to Dayanim, it wouldn't carry over when you deal with Anan Sadeh. The only time it would apply is when you're dealing with a Re'iyah Mamish. Whenever Anan Sadeh is a different kind of a parasha. It's a different kind of a lach. The Chassam Sofer talks about in a tshuva, about a famous tshuva, the Chassam Sofer, about there was a Siddur Kiddushin, and then the next day they realized that one of the Eidim was possible. So the question was, can we salvage this Kiddushin? So the Chassam Sofer said that we can maybe salvage the Kiddushin based on an Anan Sadeh. What's the Anan Sadeh? When you go to a wedding and there's an Orthodox from rabbi with a long white beard, Bimisad Kiddushin, he's probably doing everything right. So even though I'm not sitting there in the front row watching the actual ring, I'm not under the chuppah watching the ring, I'm sitting in the back yapping away with somebody. But just the fact that I went to the chuppah and I'm standing and watching, I see the chassid, I see the kala, he's wearing a kittel, she's wearing a white dress. I see there's a rabbi there and I see them making brachas. So if somebody would ask me at the end, did you see a kiddush? I'd say, yeah, I saw a kiddush. Did you see the ring? I didn't see the ring. I said, on Saturday that there was a ring that was given. If the rabbi's not from and he's doing, I don't know what he's doing under the chuppah, he could be doing all kind of games under the chuppah. So maybe he's giving a ring, she's giving a ring, someone's giving a ring, he's singing a song, she's singing, no one knows what's happening. But if you look at the rabbi and you say, yeah, this Rashiva, Mechubit, Rashiva from such and such place, so I know that everything went Kedasu Chedin, so that would be an Anan Sadeh. So Chassam Sofer talks about, it's an Anan Sadeh, but then maybe you have Nintech Karv Apostle, maybe you have Edom who are Psulim who are mixed into the batch. So that's a whole other discussion in that Shaila. You have the shaylas, happens all the time, this Chassam Sofer, not so much that the Eidim come psulim, but every once in a while the Eidim Kedushin aren't really following what's going on. They get all to flow again and they start looking the other way, and so they miss the moment where the photographer blinds them with a good flash right under the chuppah. You don't see anything. So I think they quote from Moyashe that he wouldn't let photographers come with the flash under the chuppah. But so I remember I was once at a chasana, and it was an inexperienced Masada Kedushin, and he got all tefligin, and he started making the bracha at the wrong times, and they gave the ring for, and everyone got all submission with everything. I think they, see, he said the bar prayer off, and they said the bracha, and then he didn't give them to drink. The chassan just started to say, Reah. So somebody grabbed the wine, and then in the middle of the process, the aid kedushin got bumped out of the way, and then the mice, at the end of the day, nobody saw anything. The ring got put on, and the aid kedushin is still trying to get the wine, and then the mice, they got it all mixed up. So after the chuppah, so they asked me what to do. So I said, okay, so we'll make another kiddushin afterwards. We'll do it quietly. You don't have to make a whole tataram about it. So we came to the yichud room. So we just, I told her to be makta, b'leiv shalom, back the, 100% b'leiv shalom, makta, back the ring, back to the chassan. It's also not so pashut. So come on, gittin about that. Be makta the ring back, 100% back to the chassan, and then say I read again, the SS ace, just to be sure that they were married. Although, according to the chassan, they're married anyway. Well, they're probably married for other reasons, whatever it is. Anyway, back to our story. So Tosfos has this idea that you have an Anan Sadeh. Anan Sadeh is good enough. So Rav Moshe made this Tosfos famous. Rav Moshe said, based on this Tosfos, you can drink milk. Why? Because even though the Mishnah says in Masechet Sefer Dezara that you have to be Sroro Ehu, yeah, when a goy is milking an animal, so you have to have a Jew watching, or else you never know, maybe some treifus was mixed in. The Shach points out that it's not a real concern in the Torah, because even if you mix a little treif of milk in, how much did you mix? It's most of it is cow milk. If it's mamish camel's milk, you can tell the difference in cow's milk. I don't know if I can tell, but if a person will look, they can tell camel's milk looks different from cow's milk. So what we're concerned is that maybe there's a little bit, maybe you ran out of milk and he just wants to top it off a little bit with a little bit of camel's milk. So Shach writes, whatever little drop of milk is going to be thrown is going to be bottled by Rov anyway, min HaTorah. So the whole concern of Chol Yisrael is only be the Rabban anyway. Even Al Atzad, at the worst case scenario, that the guy mixed in a little bit of treif of milk, it's not going to be a problem in HaTorah anyway. But mid the Rabbanan, the Mesaka, and you need Yisrael or Ehu. So the Ramesha raises the shaila, what's called Yisrael Re'eya? What if Yisrael doesn't actually see it? Yisrael Yodeyu. Yisrael knows. He has Yodeya Belariya. He knows with absolute certainty that nobody tampered with the milk supply. So Ramesha says, good. So then that's also good enough. And that fulfills the Dina Mishnah of Yisrael Re'eya. Re'eya doesn't mean literally Re'eya. Yodeya is also good enough. So Ramesha says, how do I know that? So he brings this dice. He quotes Yesh Amram in Yavama. This is the source for his theory. And he says, that's why you can drink milk in America. Because in America we have Yisrael Yodeyu. We don't have Yisrael Re'eyu. We have Yisrael Yodeyu. What's the Yodeyu? What's the idea? That the government is supervising. You know, the government's not Jewish. The government inspectors are not Jewish. But it doesn't matter that. No, we know Bizman is that. Nobody in the right mind would ever tamper with the milk supply. It'll cause them a huge fine. They'll shut down the whole dairy. And, you know, the FDA keeps very, very strict tabs on the dairy industry. So I'm sure no one's going to know. No one's going to put some chaza milk into the milk supply. So that's called the idea, Yisrael, even without a Re'eyus Yisrael. I remember people were hacking when the government shut down, so none of the government agencies were working, so the FDA was on vacation. So some people were tining, maybe we can't drink milk anymore in America because nobody's watching. So some of the odds are that the farmers are not waiting for the minute that the government shuts down to go grab all the chasses and all the camels and start contaminating the milk supply. Some of it's not happening. Okay, anyway, back to our story. So we have so far two interesting answers in Rishonim as to how do we get away without having a Beis Din present at the Geiris? So one answer is because maybe you don't really need a Beis, you just need one diet, and maybe a woman's a kasher to be a diet, that we don't accept the halacha. Then you have Tosfos suggesting Yesh Aimrim, Yesh Mefarshim, that you have an Eidus, you have a Dayanus, you have a Diyah B'Lariyah. But the more popular answer to this question is Tosfos' first answer, and then the Rosh gives us the answer, and most of the Rishayim, many of the Rishayim give this answer, and say that the Din of Dayanus for Geiris is not by all the parts of Geirus. Why do you need a dayan there for the Mila? Why do you need a dayan there for the Tefillah? Well, since when do we find a bris has to be done in front of a Beis? Yeah, a bris, your mother does the bris. Why do you need a Beis for Tefillah? When we go to the mikvah, somebody watches it and make sure the hair goes down, that's finished, that's it. What do you need a dayan for? What do you need them for? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. The only part of Geirus that makes any degree of sense that you should require a dayan, a Beis din for, is Kabbalah Samitzvah. Kabbalah Samitzvah is an interrogation, it's questions, it's answers. You have to judge, you have to figure out is the guy sincere, not sincere, genuine. There's a lot of work, there's a lot of questions and answering going on. That's very much in the domain of Beis din. So that's what Tosfos writes and the Rosh writes, that when we say the Getzer Shloisha, that means for the Kabbalah Samitzvah requires Shloisha. For the Tevilah, Tefillah is nishkefilah. Lechatchila shav for the tefillah. Also, the Gemara speaks about a beis for tefillah, but that's not a lechatchila. But the Eved, the only time you really truly need a beis is only for the kabbalah mitzvahs. So that would explain exactly what's going on over here. So then, the fact that the tefillah is being done shalom for the beis, then nishkefilah. But the Eved wouldn't disqualify the gerus altogether. So these are some of the popular answers that are given to this question. So as we said in the first part of the sugya, that the Rambam very often circumvented the whole question. The Rambam ignored the whole question because the Rambam had a different pshat in the Gemara. But here the Rambam is clear what his pshat was. Even though the Rambam didn't write a parish in the Gemara, it's clear from what he writes in Mishnah Torah how he learned pshat in this Gemara. When the Rambam quotes this Gemara in Yevamos in Hilchos Terebiah, when he paraphrases this Gemara, so the Rambam describes, you have a situation where a woman supposedly converted, and now there's some kind of a question about the validity of her conversion. And now we see the following, says the Rambam. We see that Aisha Tovelas the Nidusa, Mafresha Chala Lefaneinu, I think. Why did the Ram give me a shenuchas chala? Why did the Ram give two examples? She keeps tasa mishpacha, she's mafresh chala. So it's clear from the Rambam that the Rambam learned the Gemara radically different than all the other Mishanim. The Rambam learned Pshat in the Gemara that the Gemara does not mean to say that the tefillah's nida is the geirus. What the Rambam understood the Gemara to mean is that we're not sure whether there was an authentic geirus or not. We suspect that she probably did convert properly, but we don't have absolute proof. So this is a way of ascertaining what happened 20 years ago. If you see that the woman has not entered into the Jewish community and she's not observing mitzvahs properly, so that, wait a second, that throws a monkey wrench out of it. It's very possible she didn't convert 20 years ago. But if we see for the last 20 years she goes to the mikvah, she's mafresh challah, she's dressed tenuah, she's at tehillim, she's ready to everything like a good from Jewish woman is doing, so then that's a raya brewer that she was megayah when, not now in the tefillah's nida, she was megayah 20 years ago by a beis din in a real authentic way. So rather than this being the geiris itself, like Taiz and the Rosh are learning, the Ram is learning this is the proof that there was a geiris. This is the raya. The Achra Mai says there was a geiris. That's a different pshat lagamrei. If you learn pshat like the Rambam, so then the whole kasha, I mean, getting off the ground. There's never a question.
Why does her shiur so this show us what happened 20 years ago?
Because it shows that she's been part of the basic Jewish protocol. She's been part of the Jewish community. So
she could have thought that she was Jewish.
Yeah, it's possible, right? It's possible. But the Rambam's saying this is enough for a raya that things are probably done properly.
Isn't the Gemara that there's a question with the mother's tefillah?
Right, that was the shaila, right?
So,
but we know that this mother has been Shomeres Torah Mitzvahs. I mean, you have a 50-year-old kid coming to us and saying, he's not sure he's Jewish. What happened to my mother 20 years ago? We say, nobody remembers. We don't have any documentation. We have no idea. But we do remember that she's been going to the mikvah for the last 20 years. So Mistamas, the rabbis were guiding her all along. Mistamas, somebody converted her properly somewhere along the way. So I'll call upon him, l'halacha, we're not sure which stage exactly require a Beis Din for. We don't know whether we should follow Tosafot Shita that's only for Kabbalah and Mitzvahs based on this Gemara, or maybe not, maybe you need for Tevil also, like the other day in Tosafot, like the Rambam, according to other Rishonim, have a different Pshat as Gemara, so then maybe a Beis Din is necessary for everything. Therefore, the halacha, we're going to insist on a Beis Din for everything. When no one today is going to, I mean, no one today should be coordinating a Geirus without a proper Beis Din present from A to Z. We're going to insist on a Beis Din for the Mila and for the Tevil girls and every step along the way. If you goofed and didn't have it at different stages, so then we're not sure what to do with it. It's a suffer gear. We would probably want to do the gayrus over again. If Lu Yitzu, we would know for a fact that the tefillah was done shalom b'fnei beis din, we would probably want to do the gayrus again, at least be suffer. But l'chadchila, obviously, we're going to insist on a beis din present for the entire thing. What does it mean to have a beis din present? So beis din present means, again, according to one opinion, Tosfos, yedi is good enough, but according to others, maybe no. You need a real re'ias beis din. So re'ias beis din means beis din has to mamash be standing in the mikvah, mamash standing over the mikvah and watch the person go into the water. So obviously, if it's a man who's doing the tefillah, that's very easy to do. If it's a woman doing the tefillah, that becomes a lot more logistically, challenging. So the Gemara already talks about this. The Gemara talks about that. How do you do this? The Gemara describes that mechnisas of tzavar l'mayim, that at tzavar b'mayim, that you bring the woman into the mikvah first before the men are in. So she's standing up to her neck with the water. They can't see anything. And then they talk to her when she's in the mikvah. They do another kibbutz mitzvah, b'shas ma'isa. And then she goes under. And as soon as she goes under, then the dayanim leave the room. So there are different ways, different rabbanim, different dayanim have different practices of doing it in the most tenuous way. There are sheets, some place a sheet over the water, a little hole in just for her head. Some have other kunsim, all kind of different ways to make it that the dayanim obviously don't do anything, don't see anything inappropriate. But the din is that you require a re'ias beis din, and we really would not want to coordinate a geirus without a proper re'ias beis din. There was a suggestion that was made many years ago by one of the Gedolei HaPoskim that maybe we don't need a absolute formal re'iyah. Maybe it's almost like similar to Tosfos, that if you have like other ways of knowing there was a tefillah, how else would we know there's a tefillah? So one possible way would be if we heard there's a tefillah. What I mean, we hear the splash. It's amazing. It's not standing mamish in the mikvah itself. It's standing in the room, the door's closed, but there's a mikvah lady who's helping the woman go down. Otherwise, like any other tefillah needs a mikvah to make sure the hair goes down. But the actual re'iyah is not really being done by the beis din. It's a shmiyah. They're hearing the splash of the water. So there were some poskim who were okay with that. Rav Moshe did not approve of that. And the Bate Din today generally don't do that. We want to make sure that there's a proper tefillah. What some Bate Din do is that they do that almost like an afterthought. That means they first demonstrate a tefillah mamish with the beis din standing in the room, watching literally going under. And then the beis din scoots out right away. And then, you know, just to be Liesa's ace, she'll go down a second time anyway, third time, whatever time she goes down. And that, maybe the Beis Din will just be listening to, because just in case that, you know, they weren't watching properly, so at least they, because they were so nervous to get out of the room so fast, so that's almost like a backup insurance policy. But the Ika Tevila, really, the first Tevila should actually be done properly with the Beis Din literally watching Kedasa Chadim, again, in the most tenuous way fashion, but should be actually watching Kedasa Chadim. When we speak about the necessity of Beis Din for geirus, so this is part of the discussion as to when is the appropriate time to do a geirus. So the Gemara speaks about doing a geirus at night. So that's a big problem. If you hold that you need a beis din, which you do need a beis din, so then you have to do it in the daytime. You can't do it at night because Bate Din generally don't meet at night. To such an extent that most of the Rishonim hold that if a Beis Din would sit at night in a case, it would be possible even b'di'evit. There's a machlekes Rishonim about this, the Rashbam, that seems to say that a Beis Din that meets at night, maybe b'di'evit would be good, and there are about as kashas, back and forth in the Rishonim. So the last thing we would want to do is to run a geirus at night. I remember a couple of years ago where they were... they needed an extra dayan for some gerusim in town, so they were asking me would I be willing to sit on the beis din. So I said, I have a big problem. I said, I'm never around during the daytime. That was my excuse. I said, if you could figure out a way to get around this halacha, I'll be happy to sit. I was more than happy to say, so I'd leave that los hashach, come back to tizkichom. I don't have any time to sit on the beis din. So we would never, ever run a gerus at night for this reason. But the evidence if we ran a gerus at night, that would be a shaila. Even that's not so posh, but we for sure never run a gerus at night. According to some Rishonim, that's the reason why we wouldn't run a Geirus on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. The Gemara actually doesn't say that reason. The Gemara gives a different reason why we don't have a Geirus on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Gemara says the reason in Yevamos is because it's Nerukim Misatkein B'Shabbos or B'Yontif. It's like fixing something. He took a person who wasn't Jewish and then you endowed him with Yisrael, so you fixed him up, so to speak. So that's called a tikkun. That's like midrabanan. That's like, it looks like you makam patish a little bit. So the Rishonim at bottom with that Gemara is that that's the reason why you can't do a Geirus on Shabbos and Yontif. The Gemara in Beitz in the second paragraph says that you're allowed to do Tfilas Adam on Shabbos and Yontif. A Tfilas Kli is not allowed to be done on Shabbos and Yontif, but a Tfilas Adam is acceptable on Shabbos and Yontif. Why? Because it's near a Kameker, because it looks like the person's just taking a dip. So even though it's a little chilly outside, but sometimes people go take a dip even when it's cold outside. So therefore, going to the mikvah on Shabbos and Yontif is not a problem. That's what we do all the time. When a woman goes to the mikvah Friday night, Yontif night also. And we're not worried about Nira Kimisachin because it's Nira Kimaker. There are more quotes. There was some Ashkenazi Rishonim were of the opinion that we really shouldn't go to the mikveh anymore on Friday night. Why? Because we live in places that are so cold. Ashkenazim lived in northern Germany. Poland's are freezing, freezing places. So for to say Nira Kimaker in these places is a joke. Obviously, the person's going to the mikveh for tefillas nidas. So there was some Rishonim of the opinion that, you know, we're not supposed to go to the mikveh anymore on Friday night. So we don't pass like that. There are more quotes. It was a mitigant in Eastern Europe in some communities that if a woman's lel tefillah was Friday night, we would let her go Friday night like most of the Rishonim. But let's say her lel tefillah was Thursday night. And she didn't go. Well, she had a wedding. She was busy. She had a parent-teacher conference. She didn't want to go to the mikveh Thursday night. She has more time Friday night. So there are more quotes. There are some communities that are custom that we won't let her go Friday night. Why? Because we're chosh if it's a tefillah bismana, so we don't want to turn away a person with tefillah bismana. If it's anyway Tzilu Shalom Bezman, anyway she wasn't so careful, so we'll tell her to wait till the next night also, because we're not so thrilled about going to the mikvah on a Friday night and crack, it's very cold. And then there are more quotes, there are some communities that have the minhag that if it's not your little tefillah, you shouldn't go to Motzei Shabbos either, because you have to do the chafifa too far away from the tefillah itself, so we don't like that either, so we'll send this Sunday night. So now that's going to be a real incentive. If you don't show up Thursday night, then we're not going to let you go till Sunday night. So the Ramah writes that some communities had that minhag and others didn't. So the Baal Shulchan writes that in America, to the best of his knowledge, nobody has this minhagim anymore. In America, whenever you come to the mikvah, we don't give you a questionnaire and say, are you supposed to be here tonight, or were you supposed to be here 3 days ago? We don't ask any questions. As long as you're higiyas man tevila, whether it's bismarish, lo bismarish, as long as katan shiv nikiyim, we let you go to the mikvah. Fine. So the Rishonim are not clear. Why does the Gemara talk about a problem of nirik and misakein? Why is it Nirkim Misakein? What's the Nirkim Misakein? It's Nirkim Maker. So Tosfos writes that the reason why Geirus is a problem of Nirkim Misakein is because there's a whole protocol. There's also mitzvahs, there's a base in there, there's a whole tataram going on. So that adds to the, it's hard to say I'm going swimming. When you go swimming, you don't usually bring a basin to watch you, and they usually don't ask you whether you're going to keep Shabbos or not. You go swimming. So with the whole Nirukim Maker, it looks like you're dipping and cooling yourself off. Swimming would not be a good idea. You're not supposed to swim in Shabbos, but the Nirukim Maker, that idea doesn't work by Tfilas Geirus. So that's what Taisa says. That's why the Gemara gives that reason of Nirukim Misakin. So the Rambam disagrees with that Taisa. Again, not for now, but the Rambam says, you know why you can't have a Geirus on Shabbos and Yontif? Because you can't have a Maisa Basin on Shabbos and Yontif. Why not? Because Gzerishim Yichtov, we're afraid you're going to write a document, the basin is going to write down the give you a ksav geiris or something. So because there's always a fear of ever having a bezin sit on Shabbos and Yontif, you can't do a geiris on Shabbos and Yontif. So the bottom line is, you can't do geiris on Shabbos and Yontif. Bottom line is, you can't do geiris at night. According to some, the geiris on Shabbos and Yontif is a function of bezin. According to others, it's a function of another problem of nirukim misakim. But at the end of the day, a geiris requires a bezin. How do you define a bezin in terms of quantitative, qualitatively? It's some things we spoke about. How does it play up as banazem without smicha? So we mentioned that. Which part of Geirus requires a Beis Din? That's a big machlokes of Rishonim. How do you get around that problem of Yevamos about that story, whether you have to get around it or not, like the Rambam? And then the fact that you require a Beis Din could potentially impact on the Zman of Geirus, both in terms of night as well as the Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, so we finished pretty much standard Hilchos Geirus. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem next year. I don't think next year is going to be next Thursday. Right? I don't think there's any yeshiva next Thursday, and even if there was, there wouldn't be a shiur. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem after the Pesach. So we'll continue with the sugyas of Gerkata and some of the unique aspects of adoption and Gerkata and things like that. Then some of the odds and ends of Geirus. Then we have five shiurim altogether, right? Five. Okay, so we have two more to go.
We could make it up on a...